Welcome to the September 4th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Ellen Plummer. We begin our month-long exploration of being on the path of belonging by starting at the core, ourselves. What does it mean to belong to oneself? How does knowing that help us in the world?
Good morning, everyone. Here and virtually, we welcome you. I invite you and your spirit to arrive where you are right now. Bring your whole self into this space where we create community and we spend time worshiping together. It's a joy to be with you this morning. My name is Ellen Plummer, and it's my privilege and honor to be your worship associate today, our worship associate today. And our settled minister is the Rev. Pam Phillips. She's here too. It's a good day. If you are with us for the first time, we are very glad that you have found us. You are welcome in this space, and we look forward to sharing our community with you. You will find a link in the chat of the Zoom or a paper card in the back of our sanctuary. Please fill it out so that we may stay in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you would like shared aloud today, you'll find a link in the chat and also a card in which you can tell us your joy and or your sorrow, and we will collect those during the opening hymn. There are many, many opportunities for us to gather in community, both on our grounds and virtually throughout the week. Please take a look at our calendar. It's on our website for times, locations, and contact information. And thank you, a deep gratitude and appreciation for all of the volunteers among our community who help these opportunities happen. Pam has some additional announcements this morning.
Good morning. So one of the things I wanted to share this morning has to do with one of our greeters. His name is Dave Livesay, and today was supposed to be his last day greeting, but he had to cancel because they're taking photographs of his house, because he and his wife Bonnie Wall Livesay are moving to Madison, Wisconsin. So Dave and Bonnie, if you are here with us on Zoom, I just want to express gratitude to the two of them. Dave has been an online greeter ever since we started doing this crazy Zoom stuff. And he's also been involved with the pastoral care ministry. And both he and Bonnie are faithful attendees of the Conversations on Faith, and Bonnie's been serving on the personnel committee. And that's just while I've been here. So if you get a chance in the month ahead to say thank you and goodbye to Bonnie and Dave, I know that they'll appreciate that, because I know I appreciate you both. I also want to let you know that we don't have religious education today, but it starts next week. And that means next week the children will be with us during the beginning of our worship service, which will be such a joy. We haven't had that opportunity in a couple of years. So fingers crossed that we're back into the yellow, but I appreciate everyone wearing masks so that we can keep everyone safe. And I just want to put a plug in really quickly for signing up for Soul Matters small groups. You'll find information about the groups on our website. You'll also find a place to sign up in our weekly announcements. But those groups are forming the next couple of weeks, and I encourage you, if you have not yet done it and are curious, to ask me or Marilyn DuPont questions about it and to sign up. And so now let's greet one another. Everybody at home, if you will turn on your videos, we're going to put you up on the screen. Go ahead and wave. And if you want to tell us where you are worshiping from this morning, I'll let people know. go ahead and write it in the chat. And I see that no one has written anything yet. Oh, Nancy is on her back porch in Christiansburg. Hi, Nancy. Beth says hello from Radford. Mary says good morning from Blacksburg. Anne in Pulaski. Molly and Irene on the patio in Uptown. It's Christiansburg, people. Gail and Susie say hello from Galax, and Barbara Ann Smith from Radford. Oh, and Alyssa Short is here from Pennsylvania. Lindsay, Jasper, Sienna are here from Blacksburg, and Margot is here from Giles. All right, we've got a lot of ground covered. Alyssa, I am wearing the scarf that you gave me. So now everyone here in the room, if you will put on your best smile and wave to the folks at home. We have a hearty group of folks here, even though it is Labor Day weekend. Hello, everyone. It is good to be together. And we have greeted one another. Actually, people in the room, look around and find somebody's eye. And smile and wave. Even a half-hearted one counts. Thank you. And now let's create sacred space.
Please join me in saying the words as Pam lights our chalice. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Our opening words this morning are an extension of an amplification of our chalice lighting and are by the Reverend Scott Taylor. May the flame we kindled light the path back to our center, back to that place of belonging, to what is true, what is deepest within, what knows us even before we know ours. And may our chalice remind us that we are held and welcomed whole, without the need to hide a single piece or part of who we are. Our practice as a community of faith is to read together the covenant that joins us together in a very special community. Please join me in reading our words. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
So, it is September, which means we have returned to monthly worship themes. And each month we have a different theme. We also have Soul Matters small groups. And these are groups where people join together to discuss, or actually to share their experience of their own explorations of the themes. Every month you get a packet. In fact, all of you could get the packet if you wanted to. It's online and the password is Got Soul, kind of like Got Milk. Remember that commercial? The packet has spiritual exercises around the theme. This month it is belonging. There are also a list of questions, not questions that you need to answer every single one of, but just questions to get your mind and heart stirring. And so you read through those questions and find which one speaks to your heart. You just kind of live with it. And then there's all kinds of resources, quotations, web articles, books, music, videos, all different kinds of ways of exploring the theme. Again, this month it is belonging. So a couple of years ago, we decided that we didn't want just the folks who had signed up for small groups to have an opportunity to try some of the spiritual exercises. So we've been sharing those. This one is called Thank You Everything. Here's what it invites us to do. They write, it's something the sages have implored us to do over and over again. Welcome the difficult parts of our life back into belonging. The singer Alanis Morissette helped bring this work into popular culture with her well-known lyrics. Let's see if you know these. Thank you, terror. Thank you, disillusionment. Thank you, frailty. Thank you, consequence. Thank you. Thank you, silence. We toyed around with the idea of playing the song for you. I wish I could sing it for you, but I am no Alanis Morissette. But in response, many people have made their own thank you for difficult things lists. For instance, one list goes like this. Thank you, poverty. Thank you, simplicity. Thank you, lack of fame. Thank you, hard work. Thank you, homework. Thank you, lost games. Thank you, broken hearts. Thank you, tribulation. Thank you, patience. Thank you, experience. Notice some of those things in that list aren't quite so negative, but the idea is that so much of who we are has to do with what we've been through. The hard times in our lives, but also the good times. As Ellen and I talked about this exercise, we thought, you know what? Some people are so identified with the difficult things in their lives that they have a hard time remembering the good things too. So the invitation from the packet says, so what might your thank you list look like? That's what this exercise invites you to figure out. Set aside the time this month to revisit the challenging, heartbreaking, loss-filled, unwanted, even painful things that have entered your life. Think of that poem by Rumi. But Ellen and I want to invite something else. Take time this month to think about the joyful things. The growing things that inform who you are, and invite all of those experiences back into belonging. They say it this way, take them out of exile and bring them back into belonging by listing them one by one with a giant thank you in front of each one. The transformative work of this exercise, of course, is figuring out why they deserve your thanks. So take your time. And if you're a person who loves arts and crafts, perhaps find a way to express your thank yous with art, color, designs, or collage. So think for a minute. What would be on your thank you list? So ends the spiritual exercise. Now, before, I've had people come up to me the week after I've explained a spiritual exercise and reported back on their work. I welcome you to do that with each other, if not with me.
One way in which our community belongs and says thank you is to collect an offering. And our congregation shares half of the offering we collect with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is our local public radio station, WVTF Radio IQ. We pool donations from other UU congregations in Roanoke, Lynchburg, and Charlottesville to pay for day sponsorships so that people listening to the radio know that there are places that honor and hold up liberal religion. How many of you heard of us on NPR? Please give online using the link in the chat or through the many ways listed on the screen. You will be able to give after the service as well. For those of you in the sanctuary, if you would like to give cash or check, there is a basket in the back of the hall. Thank you all so very much for your generosity. And as we collect our offering, we'll enjoy Jared playing The Corner Room by Rachel Grimes, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. For those online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory. Please join me in accepting our gifts and offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end. Well done, everyone.
I invite you now into the mood of meditation. This week, the words I will read are a poem, Love After Love by Derek Walcott. So settle into your seat, soften your shoulders, soften your gaze, do whatever it is that will help you be present to these words. The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, "Sit here, eat." You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit. Feast on your life. Sit in silence as we listen, as we feast, as we meet and smile again at the stranger that is ourself. Our meditation.
Our reading this morning comes from Brené Brown and her book, Braving the Wilderness, The Quest for True Belonging and the Courage to Stand Alone. She writes, "Belonging is the innate human desire to be part of something larger than us. Because this yearning is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in and seeking approval, which are not only hollow substitutes for belonging, but often barriers to it. Because true belonging only happens when we present our authentic, imperfect selves to the world, our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance." This definition has withstood the test of time as well as the emergence of new data, but it is incomplete. There's much more to true belonging. Being ourselves means sometimes having to find the courage to stand alone, totally alone. Even as I write this, I still thought of belonging as requiring something external to us, something we secured by, yes, showing up in a real way, but needing an experience that always involved others. So as I dug deeper into belonging, it became clear that it's not something we achieve or accomplish with others. It is something we carry in our heart. Once we belong thoroughly to ourselves and believe thoroughly in ourselves, true belonging is ours. Belonging to ourselves means being called to stand alone, to brave the wilderness of uncertainty, vulnerability, and criticism. And with the world feeling like a political and ideological combat zone, this is remarkably tough. We seem to have forgotten that even when we're utterly alone, we are connected to one another by something greater than group membership, politics, and ideology. We are connected by love and the human spirit. No matter how separated we are by what we think and believe, we are all part of the same spiritual story.
Coming home to ourselves. What does that mean? When I first started thinking about how we might explore being on a path of belonging, I liked the idea of starting small and moving in wider circles of belonging, starting with belonging to ourselves, then to this community, and then to the wider world. I like that kind of pattern. But as I started researching and reading, I came upon several articles that cited some of the words that Ellen just read of Brené Brown's, and I realized just how essential belonging to ourselves is to being capable of belonging that involves other people, and how this idea resonates so much with so many people. And it isn't a new idea, is it? I think of the line from Hamlet, spoken by Polonius, who is not the most reliable, but it is this: "This above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day, thou canst not then be false to any man." or the briefer and much wittier saying attributed to Oscar Wilde, be yourself, everyone else is taken. It's a great line, isn't it? But I looked it up and Oscar Wilde never said it. But what he did write in a letter titled De Profundis, written while he was in prison for the crime of indecency, quoting our own Ralph Waldo Emerson, was this: it is tragic how few people ever possess their souls before they die. Nothing is more rare in any man, says Emerson, than an act of his own. Wilde goes on, it is quite true. Most people are other people. Their thoughts are someone else's opinions, their lives a mimicry, their passions a quotation. This speaks to how difficult it can be to belong to oneself, or as Wilde would put it, to possess one's soul. He certainly paid a price for being himself, for loving another man. Indeed, it can be difficult because we want so badly to belong that we settle for fitting in and seeking acceptance. That is certainly true for us as children, isn't it? How many times would we argue with our parents that we wanted to do something or have something because everyone else did? Yes? Have you heard the response? Or perhaps you uttered it. If everyone jumped off a cliff, would you too? I never did come up with a quick comeback for that. I'm sure there is one. And that need to fit in to gain approval and acceptance from our peers continues throughout our lives, sometimes with really negative consequences. Think about all the peer pressure we faced as adolescents or as our children and grandchildren do. So much of the questionable choices we made were out of a desire to fit in with the crowd. And that pressure is not just in group settings, but in our more intimate relationships. I think of all the messages we receive about how to find a partner, and not just as teenagers, about changing our appearance, changing our behavior, changing our words so that we can catch a mate. I once had someone tell me, when I was in my late 20s, that I should read the sports section of the newspaper if I ever wanted to find a man. Of course, dear Abby, when asked about how to meet people, says, go to church. So maybe not all advice is bad. Our meditation poem today, Love After Love, makes me think of the time I realized after a relationship ended, how much of myself I had given away just to keep that relationship going. Give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another. Have you ever done that? Ignored yourself? Your own wants and needs in favor of doing things that someone else wanted to do. Now, not all pressure to fit in and seek the acceptance comes from outside ourselves. As Brené Brown notes, we have to be willing to present our authentic, imperfect selves to the world if we are to find true belonging. Our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance, she writes. For all kinds of reasons, many of us have a hard time with our imperfections, accepting that we are imperfect. We are, all of us, imperfect. And we spend our psychic energy denying, rejecting, or projecting onto other people those parts of ourselves of which we are ashamed. Now, you'd think that as Unitarian Universalists, we wouldn't struggle so much with this. The first principle says we affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of all people. I guess sometimes we forget that includes ourselves. We often expect more from ourselves than we would from someone else. But of course, recognizing and accepting our imperfections gives us the opportunity to grow and change those things we can and want to change. I came across some interesting ideas about self-acceptance and worthiness from the author and activist Adrienne Marie Brown. She speaks to that relationship, saying, "Belonging doesn't begin with other people accepting us. It begins with us, our acceptance of ourselves." She goes on, "From that deep place of belonging to ourselves, we can understand that we are inherently worthy of each other. Even when we make mistakes, harm each other, lose our way, we are worthy." She also speaks to how we can practice with each other when we are less than our best selves. She writes that we need to practice, learn to apologize. A proper apology is rooted in this worthiness. "I was at my worst. Even at my worst, I am worthy, so I will grow." I need to think more about that. And she invites us to practice in places that support our worth, saying, "Move towards spaces that value us. Let ourselves belong to those communities that know they want us, know they need us, know we have worth, know we deserve more than transactional care." That's one reason why many of us come to a place like UUC, a place where we can build trusting relationships, a place where we can be our authentic selves, a place where we can practice being our better, if not our best selves. For some of us, it takes time to grow confident enough in ourselves to resist the pressure to fit in, to make choices based on what we believe, what we want, and who we want to be, instead of seeking the acceptance of others. I think of the poem, I knew the line before I knew the poem. The poem is called Warning. It's by Jenny Joseph, and it starts out, "When I'm an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat, which doesn't go and doesn't suit me." I think of the people in my life who at a certain age just said, "I'm done. I'm going to do what I'm going to do." I aspire to that. But I also have noticed in thinking about that, that young people, or at least people who are younger than I am or younger in their outlook, have a head start compared to me when I was their age. Particularly in terms of expectations around gender roles and identities. So many of the ways I was pressured to fit in and seek, and the way I sought acceptance had to do with the fact that I was a girl and then a woman. Certainly the women's movement and feminism have helped lessen some of that pressure, but so much so that by the time I went to seminary, there were more women than men And the same is true in other formerly male-dominated professions. But now, perhaps because of the activism for LGBTQ plus rights, and I think also the example of people who were willing to push back and live their lives as themselves, young people seem more willing to reject expectations that don't fit with who they are. Does that ring a bell with anyone? I just feel like there's so much to learn from people who don't feel constrained by the gender binary about belonging to oneself. It also makes me wonder about the people who raise them. What is it that makes it possible for young people to say, nope, that's your expectation. That's not who I am. I guess what I'm saying is I have something to learn from the older and the younger people in my life. Maybe you do too. So enough about what keeps us from belonging to ourselves. How can we practice self-acceptance before we are old and wearing purple and red hats? Apparently you're not supposed to do that together, I don't know. One way is to be intentional about checking in with ourselves. Because how can we belong to ourselves if we don't pay attention to ourselves? Last week, we introduced our watery selves to one another. If you were here, you remember. It seemed like just a fun activity, but I really liked the intentionality of it. We invited everyone to notice how it felt to be in their bodies, and then to think of what kind of body of water you most related to in that moment, and introduce yourself to someone that way. I'm not gonna ask you to do that part again, the introducing, but take a moment now to notice, how does it feel to be in your body? Physically, how do you feel? Are you tired, energetic, strong, feeling pain? Emotionally, how do you feel? Do you feel calm, excited, happy, sad, bored? It's okay. It's all good. We are often so much in our heads, I think we can miss what our physical bodies can tell us. A friend of mine once told me about an interview he had. He was really intentional and intense about answering the questions. He wanted to answer well. But at the end of the interview, he got asked a question about something that he was really passionate about. And when he got done with that answer, the person interviewing him said, "That's the first time you've seemed like you were really in your body through this whole discussion." His body had come alive. That story really resonated with me. Have you had times like that when you felt really alive? Whatever you were doing or saying or thinking made you come alive, maybe so much so that other people noticed. I'm guessing those are the times that you were belonging to yourself. There are other ways to check in with ourselves. Spiritual practices like meditation and journaling and prayer can give us time and space to stop the busyness and chatter of day-to-day living and allow us to listen to our lives. Sometimes it helps to have someone to talk to, a therapist or spiritual director, a support group, or just a good friend who can help you listen to yourself. I'm constantly surprised when I say something and go, "Oh, I didn't know that I believed that." The Soul Matters small groups that we're forming this month are a great opportunity for exploring not just the monthly themes, but also yourself. They give a space for practicing belonging to yourself. After you spend time with the spiritual exercises and the questions and the resources, you meet with your group to share your experiences. And the members of the group listen deeply with no interruptions. There's no fixing, no saving, no advising, no setting each other straight. Just listening. And the amazing thing is that while you are listening to others and others are listening to you, you'll find that you are listening to yourself and to your own life. Remember, the password is Got Soul. You're welcome to look at any of the material online. Talk to me or Marilyn, and we'll get you signed up. In the month ahead, we'll be exploring what it means to be on the path of belonging. As we travel together into our complex, challenging, and hoped-for future. As we do, let's hold in our minds and our hearts the importance of belonging to ourselves before we can experience true belonging with others. Remembering that that belonging to ourselves means paying attention to who we are, who we want to be, listening to that still small voice within, instead of seeking acceptance and settling for just fitting in. Living wholeheartedly as who we are and not who others say we ought to be. As I was writing, I came across a Facebook post that just spoke to my heart. Be so completely yourself that everyone feels safe to be themselves too. I kind of love that. And I want to invite Ellen up to read with me a litany written by Don Shaw Cooley that I think is a good reminder. Ready? No, that's all right.
Because there have been times when shame has crushed our ability to be wholehearted.
We let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are.
Because we have not always had the courage to be imperfect.
We let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are.
Because we have struggled to have compassion for ourselves or others.
We let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are.
Because we have been afraid of our own vulnerability.
We let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are.
Because we are sometimes too scared to live authentically.
We let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are.
Because we want to be wholehearted people, confident in our worthiness and our belonging.
Join with me in saying the words. We let go of who we ought to be and embrace who we are. I invite you to embrace yourself. We are. We are worthy. We belong to ourselves. And by belonging to ourselves, we are able to belong to one another. We extinguish this chalice, but not the warmth of this community. We take it in our hearts out into the world until we are together again. Amen.